This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Grab your passports because today we are going international. Welcome back to Misbehaved, the podcast where we talk about mindset, mental health, and living a perfectly imperfect life. Today's episode, Misperformed in Peru. We're diving into the world of performance anxiety and what it's like to perform on an international trip, the excitement, the pressure, and how to keep your sparkle even when the nerves try to steal the show. So let's set the stage, the global stage. I had the opportunity 2 years ago during this month in September to go to the International Festival de Primavera as one of 13 United States delegates selected. And we were all twirlers for a week-long performance there. And it was a huge mix of emotions, so much excitement, a little bit of culture shock, and of course, pressure to represent our country well. I will say it was really funny trying to pack for this trip. I feel like anyone can relate to the stress of trying to pack your whole life into one suitcase. We not only had daytime outfits, casual outfits, but we also had to have about 4 to 5 evening outfits, which was nice cocktails or some sort of pant or jumpsuit. And then we had 2 other long dresses and then a gala gown, 2-3 pairs of comfortable shoes. We had our warm-ups that we all had, these matching Peru USA jackets. And then, of course, because we were performing, we had to have about 4 costumes and then our batons and then 6 to 7 pairs of tights, 3 pairs of jazz shoes or some sort of sneaker to perform in. And then, of course, we had all the miscellaneous. You have to have all your makeup supplies, your hair supplies, and all those good things. Packing for this trip was not easy. I remember that we had to be under 50 pounds and mine was so heavy. It was about 49 pounds and I had to go to Publix, our local grocery store, the night before the trip to weigh it to double check that I wasn't going to have to pay all those overage fees. So anyways, this trip starts out with the chaos of every good travel story, which was packing. And then there was a little bit of jet lag going to South America, but honestly, it was a jam-packed week. Looking back at the schedule, I cannot believe that I was able to do this, that my body was able to handle this for a week long. We traveled all of Sunday, and then immediately Monday morning, we got ready for performances. We went to a press conference, we had a coronation that night, and we got to walk on this amazing red carpet, and it was televised. It was truly one of the most special opportunities that I had. And then by the next day, we were twirling. We had 2 to 3 performances a day, and then we had events all night. We went to the orchestra one night. We went to a grand fashion show one night. Wow, just re-looking at the schedule, it was so, so special getting to meet the governor and getting to meet the mayor of Trujillo. And then all of this led up to our big parade performance, which was the International Festival de Primavera, which was several miles long. Although it was extreme chaos for a week straight, and it was the most performances I've done back to back to back, it was truly, I can't sum it up enough, so special. As I was on this trip, my friends and I really wanted to remember all the silly and the exciting moments of it all, and we made this collective list. So this was my list of some of my favorite things that happened on the Peru trip. So the last day was a farewell lunch, and of course we were all sad that we were leaving after bonding all week. And this was the first time we heard American music, and they played Cotton Eye Joe, and we all got up and we started dancing, and we showed all the people who were not familiar with the dance how to do the dance. And so we were literally in a restaurant just dancing to the Cotton Eye Joe. We got these hats, and they said International Festival de Primavera on them. They kind of looked like the University of Alabama's bid day hats, and that's what we immediately compared them to. And so we had this phrase where we said just rushed Nas, which leads me to my next point, Nas. So we were featured in the news several different times, but obviously it was in a different language, and so the American translation was sometimes a little different. The English translation was sometimes a little different. And so we were the North American baton twirlers, the American baton twirlers, whatever you'd like to say. One of the translations was Nas, or that's what we called it, and it said the North American walking sticks. We thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And then I have a really bad habit of closing my eyes or squinting when it's sunny, and of course it was very sunny the whole trip. So one of my friends who is a feature twirler at Ole Miss, her name's Sydney, she created the phase pulling a Hallie. So anytime somebody closed their eyes in one of our group photos, we'd be like, oh, she pulled a Hallie. So I am known for being the person who always has their eyes closed in photos. And then one of my favorite parts of the entire trip, we got gifted pineapples at one of the events that we went to, and then we all got to take them back to the hotel. There was one night, it was about midnight, and we were all so hungry after performing all day that we were in our hotel room. We had obviously no access to knives or anything of the sort. And so we pulled up a YouTube tutorial, and we successfully learned to eat pineapple without a knife. Like, we took off the head, we slammed it on the ground, we rolled it, we did everything the YouTube video said, and we were able to pick apart the pineapple and enjoy it. And of course we put a towel down and everything, but we literally sat basically in a circle on the hotel floor eating pineapple. Although I have not used that skill since, I now know how to eat a pineapple, or basically cut it up without using a knife. So if you ever need that trait, let me know. Okay, also my ego went through the roof because one night I was wearing this white fringe dress with my kind of crimped hair. It was curly, but I could see where it could be interpreted crimpy. And then I had red lipstick, and I kid you not, I had two different women come up with their daughters thinking I was Taylor Swift and were like, can we get a picture with you, Taylor? I felt so famous, so cool. I obviously am not Taylor Swift, but being recognized in a foreign country for looking like Taylor Swift definitely played into my ego a little too much. Don't worry, it's died down. We're back to normal now. During the coronation, we all had different songs. There was one girl who was the United States Queen, or the Queen of America, and that was my friend Olivia. And her song that they played while she was walking in the coronation was Can't Stop This Feeling by Justin Timberlake. So I don't know how significant that is to American culture, but we all got a little giggle out of that and how fun it was. Because there was a coronation and we got to walk in our gala gowns and walk this red carpet, we all treated it like it was the Miss America runway. And I really hope one day I get that same opportunity. But we definitely were in the mindset of like, wow, we're literally Miss America right now. Lastly, we had security on this whole trip. We were very well protected. We had Rafa, who was our main security guard, and he was so sweet. And so we made that TikTok where it's like, a single mom who works two jobs. So my last note on here says, Rafa, our single mom who works two jobs. Thank you to all of the staff who made the trip a very successful one, but also ensured that we were safe throughout it all. Now, obviously, these were all the highlights of it, but when you are doing so much and every single performance was televised or had cameras and photos, it can bring up a lot of anxiety, especially performing abroad, because it's not just about the stage, it's about stepping into an unknown environment, a lot of things that are out of your control, that are very unknown variables. that easily can stir up anxiety. What performance anxiety really is this mind-body connection. Your heart starts to race, your hands start to shake, and you get these spiraling thoughts. And especially with a baton twirler, sometimes when you go into these negative states, it can really affect how you perform and how much you catch the baton versus drop it, because you start thinking the worst in yourself, and then unfortunately you do that. Ideally, in a perfect world, you think better about yourself and you do better, but that's not always the case. And I was looking at the stats, up to 70% of performers can experience some level of stage fright, even those who have performed time and time again. I wanted to look at research that tells us more about performance nerves, especially when you're performing abroad. So here's some of the numbers that I found. They're here to remind you that what you're feeling is totally valid and a shared feeling. Almost everyone feels it. 97.1% of students report experiencing performance anxiety before a performance, and 86.5% feel anxiety during the performance itself. That means stage fright is basically universal. Musicians are especially vulnerable. Among professional musicians, 60 to 80% experience debilitating levels of performance anxiety. Performance often suffers publicly as well. In one study of student musicians, 48% said their public performance was worse than in rehearsal. The main culprits, nervousness, and even changes in breathing patterns. It's just your brain and your body tricking you and tipping the scales in real time. Performing abroad adds an extra layer to all of this. So here's the twist. International students face increased anxiety rates due to stress, acculturation challenges, and separation from support systems. So the main takeaways is that performance anxiety is super common and honestly almost universal. It often impacts how you perform in front of an audience. And if you're going international, it can add in additional stressors and make your nervous system work in overtime. Some ways to kind of weave this in is reframing those nerves into excitement. And that's really what we did on this trip. We were all so excited to share our gifts and to have people appreciate it, but we were also just so excited to get to twirl every day. And that was our whole day, was getting flowers and gifts just for twirling. And we used a lot of silly moments to kind of laugh it off and make the most out of it. But there's also grounding techniques that can really help with that. Focusing on your breathing, focusing on your five senses. And also, not only can you use grounding techniques, but you can create an entire pre-performance ritual that becomes a consistency. A good example of this is if you watch a volleyball player or a tennis player, sometimes they have a sequence that they do each time before they serve. When I was playing like middle school or peewee volleyball, I'd always hit it twice and then you spin it and then you serve it. And it's just this ritual that you create in your brain that's consistent, that also calms your mind and lets you know like this is something you've done before, you can handle this. And then of course, when you are in an international environment, those anxiety layers when you're abroad, there's language barriers. And this was a little difficult for us at times. We were being escorted by military men and we weren't always able to communicate with them. Sometimes we were being escorted as we were getting announced. So it would take a few minutes and that could be a little hostile or awkward, just depending on how fluent we were. My 4 years of Spanish helped me get through basic conversations, so I'm very appreciative of that. There was also cultural differences in how the audience reacted. During the parade, we had people who were throwing their kids into the street to take a photo with us as we're actively performing. And like I mentioned, we did have security guards, so they kind of helped with that. But it was definitely something we were not expecting, was having people try and take photos with us as we are actively performing, as you're throwing a metal stick into the air, which can arguably be very dangerous. And then, of course, there was a lot of exhaustion. We really weren't sleeping much. We were getting up early, doing full glam, and then going and performing all day, having night events, and then going back to the hotel, and then doing it all again for almost 7 days straight. Like I said, because we were representing the United States, we had that pressure of wanting to do a good job to represent the United States, to also represent our colleges that we were twirlers at, and to represent our group of amazing bastoneras or baton twirlers. One way that really helps with this is reframing your mindset. I talk about mindset a lot because it makes all the difference. I shifted it from I can't mess up to what an honor this is that I get to share my gift of twirling, that I get to share my gift, whatever your gift may be. And I viewed the cultural differences as an experience to learn and to grow and be more educated from a new environment. We grew so close together as performers on that trip. And so we really leaned on each other and we made the most out of it. We supported each other. We shared so many laughs and we just made it a good experience. And that truly is what makes all the difference when you're dealing with anxiety. I am extremely grateful for the opportunity to learn lessons from a new place, from a new continent. And I truly do believe that confidence grows when you step outside your comfort zone, which is not always the easiest thing for me to do, but I did do it. And to this day is one of the best experiences I've ever had. And I'm really grateful that I decided to step outside my comfort zone. Performing internationally also taught me about resilience. It taught me a lot about flexibility, but most importantly, it helped me build a sense of pride in representing myself and representing a sport and representing my community and my country. So if you do ever have the opportunity to represent the United States in something, even if it's an academic accolade, any regard that you get to be a United States delegate, take the chance, take the opportunity. Hopefully somebody listening to this will go to the Olympics one day. That is my ultimate dream for whoever is listening to this. If you want to go to the Olympics, if you do a sport that will qualify you for the Olympics, or maybe one day it will, then please reference this podcast when you get a gold medal. So if you're performing abroad, whether it's music, sports, pageants, public speaking, or especially for my twirlers, remember this. Nerves mean that you care. Don't run from them. Work with them. Let them ignite you. And remember, your crown never really falls. It just slips sometimes. I'll see you soon, no matter where in the world you may be. But until then, no misbehaving.